Our last poet for the evening is Jane Owain. She always gets to be last because her name starts with a W. Way back from grade school, probably, you're always the last. But not least, Jane Owain's poems have appeared in Plowshares Poetry, the Iowa Review, the American Scholar, the Massachusetts Review, Poetry Northwest, River Styx, which wasn't included in this bio, but many times, and others. I'm sure there's some others, but we don't need to mention them. Looking Both Ways, her first book, received the Devins Award for Poetry, and A Strange Heart, Helicon 9 Editions, received the Marianne Moore Prize, and Society of Midland Authors Award. Her forthcoming book is From the Night Album, which is suitably ghostly. Please welcome, once again to this podium, Jane Owain.
Oh, don't tell me I'm the shortest. It gets lower and lower. I was prepared to only read from this book, to read a variety, so that's what I'll... You can see how prepared I was. But I'll start with my poem. In small rooms. In small rooms where the aunts are waiting to join the uncles. They keep all the windows closed and their valises ready in the closet, like boxes stacked with empty boxes. When they stop finger drumming on the table, they can hear the darkness ripening through the avocado skin and the uncles whispering out of photographs, beckoning to them like faces in water. But when you visit those tight rooms, they don't mention it. They wear confinement like a ring that won't pull off. One hand warming on a cup, they drift, stirring the past slowly through the conversation, as if they're only stirring sugar. Then abruptly, as a piece of cake tumbles from a fork, they let it drop. Each morning, in a row of saucers on the windowsill, they water fur-leafed violets faithfully, as you would a cat. And over their skew-balled chairs, they drape the silk shawl of better times. And who, in such a low-ceilinged room, wouldn't watch the only open door? Who wouldn't bend a little toward the mirror, each night getting closer to the truth, keeping an eye on it as a guard does a shifty prisoner? All it takes is a wind, a mere sigh, to lock us out of the house. I can't turn to something happier, but given the theme, this is from my forthcoming work, which is actually has more ghosts in it. Visits. In a burst, as when you lift a lid from boiling water, he comes back. A penciled note tucked inside a book, or a jar of salvaged varnish crusted over like a scab. The house is mined. A plate breaks. A kitchen chair teeters on hind legs. Even breadcrumbs, careless on a stick of butter, can explode. You've happened onto gloves, buried under papers, or on the bottom of a drawer, a roll of film that's been exposed. That's all it takes. A room can give off sparks the way a burning log does. Bright visits that you're never ready for. When you tear a rag in two, it's not shredding you here, but a dust cloth reverting to a shirt. Now I'll read some other cheery poems about ghosts. Remotely, I suppose. It's interesting how many turns ghosts can take in poetry. This is called In the Runaway's House. I want to say that this was actually based on, years ago we had a student living in our house that was supposed to take care of the baby, but I ended up taking care of the student, as those things go. And suddenly she dropped out of school and went to Europe, never to be heard from again. So that occasioned this, not just by me, but by anyone, disappeared. In the runaway's house, she left her bicycle on its side, the gray fur of the basement growing on the spokes, the kickstand in the air. But you keep finding her, the way you come upon a coin or pen lodged between the cushions of a chair. Go ahead, hang new curtains in her bedroom, but you won't break off this thread between your teeth. You can paint the walls a different color and empty the drawers and shelves, but you can't close the door to this room. No matter what you do, she keeps taking you by surprise, like the metal hangers jangling in her closet. Whenever the phone rings or the doorbell, you can see her long hair and tinted glasses, can hear the silk ruffle of her voice. She's unchanged, the same smile, the same shirt and faded jeans she left in 15 years ago. Sometimes from the hall, you even see her at the dressing table, her back to you, her left hand brushing out her hair, while like Perseus, she is looking at you in the mirror. She'll never stop, never get the knots out. She's fastened in your mind, like a photograph in your album, or lines in a letter that you've read too many times. One more, and put the ghost to sleep. In your house on Elia Street is in London. If it were summer, when she happened on their empty cottage in the middle of the woods and tried their table and their chairs, their porridge and their bowls, she might have taken off her shoes afterwards, as I do in your house. She might have listened for them when she climbed the stairs that night, or opened drawers, might have heard what I hear, turning doorknobs, turning pages that you've turned. And if she stayed until the cut flowers wilted on the mantle, she might have thrown them out, holding stems that they had held. She might have changed the water in the vase on a murky afternoon and cut more flowers for the house, the color of the ones they'd left. At someone else's sink, someone else's towel against her face, she might have hesitated at the mirror, as I do early in the morning, rubbing off the cold, damp glass, half expecting you. Thank you.